Welcome to the KICC Malawi podcast. Our prayer is that this message will speak to your heart.
Let's go to the book of Matthew chapter 6. We'll read this 5 to 7. And then I'll do a quick recap on what we started. Then we'll look at 6 points for today. If we don't finish them, we'll continue them next time.
Amen.
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 Matthew chapter 6, verse 5 to 7. Jesus is speaking to the disciples and those that were following him. And in verse 5, he says, "And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward." What is the reward? Men have seen them, because that's what they wanted. They wanted men to see them, so they get the reward. Men have seen them. "But when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly." So you do it secretly, but when he rewards you openly for all the world to see. "And when you pray," verse 7, "do not use vain repetitions as the heathens do, for they think that they'll be heard for their many words." Amen.
Amen.
In that scripture alone, we see 3 times Jesus is saying, "When you pray," and not "if you pray." If Jesus had said, "If you pray," then it means prayer was going to be an option. But when you say, "When you pray," it means prayer is an expectation. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
So Jesus expects you to pray. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
So tell your neighbor and say, "Jesus expects you to pray." Amen.
Amen.
Now, he says, "When you pray," in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 to 12, he says, "When you pray, what should you do?" He says, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives, and he who seeks, finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened." Verse 9. "Or what man is there among you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets." Hallelujah.
Amen.
So immediately before I go there, I go into the other things. The Bible is basically saying, if you want Pastor Patrick to do something for you or to you, then you should do it to him. And when you do it to him, he is going to do it to you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
But then Jesus puts a challenge on prayer. He says, "I want to ask you, and hopefully one among you is going to be found. A son comes to him and says, 'Dad, I need bread.' And then the father says, 'You want bread? No problem.' He gets a stone and gives it to the child and says, 'Here is bread.' Or the son comes and says, 'Dad, I want fish.' He says, 'Okay, you wait a minute. let me go and get fish for you. And then he's coming back with a python. He says, here is fish. So Jesus says, if you, and then he calls us evil, if you being evil, know how to give good things to your children, then how much more your Father, who is in heaven, won't he give good things to those who ask him? So it means when we ask God, he answers.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
But one major reason, hopefully the major reason, that I have seen people not wanting to pray is because they don't see results to prayer. So it's a paradox. Because Jesus says, when you pray, I'll answer. And yet people pray or give up praying, and you ask them, why have you given up praying? They say, because the Lord didn't answer me. So then where is the problem? Because this one clearly says, I want you to understand that when I'm dealing with you, you are evil, I am not evil. And you being evil, you already know about giving good things to your children. They come for bread, you don't take a stone. They come for fish, you don't give them a serpent. Then how come you think me, I'll give you a serpent and I'll give you a stone? And then somebody says, I've stopped praying because the Lord hasn't answered me. And I said last time that I know that there is somebody called the devil. And the devil does everything possible to block our answers to prayer. And we have seen it in the life of Daniel. But we can actually be the major cause of an answered prayer, even as children of God. So last time I shared a few things. The first thing I shared, I said, when you pray, what is your motive when you pray? Hallelujah. Because James chapter 4 verse 3 says, when you ask, you do not receive. So the asking has happened, but somebody hasn't received. And James gives an answer. He says, because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. So when you ask, but the motive is wrong, the Lord will not answer. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So what is your motive? Because in Psalm 145:18, the Bible says, the Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth.
Amen.
So there is a calling on God which can be fake, and there is a calling on God which can be in truth. So the question is, which calling are you calling? Hallelujah. In Psalm 34, verse 4 to 5, I'm just doing a quick recap. I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. So we already now see that when we call upon God, one of the key benefits for us is that our faces will never be covered with shame.
Amen.
So we can actually say shame is not our portion if we call upon the Lord in truth. That's Psalm 34, verse 4 to 5. The second thing I shared last time, I say, when you pray, do you really pay attention to what the scriptures are saying? Because one day Solomon dedicates the temple in Jerusalem, and the day he dedicates the temple, the Lord appears to him in 2 Chronicles chapter 7. And in verse 12, the Bible says that the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said to him, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as the house of sacrifice. When I, God, not the devil, and I want you to pay attention to that, when I shut up heaven and there is no rain, so it's actually possible for God to shut up heaven.
Amen.
And there be no rain.
Amen.
It's possible. Somebody say it's possible.
Amen.
It's possible for God to do that.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Or command the locusts to devour the land so he can do that. There's nothing impossible with God.
Amen.
He can command locusts and devour the land. Or send pestilence among my people. And it's interesting that he's not saying I'm sending pestilence among the heathen. He says I'm sending it among my people. God says, if I can do that, Then he says, if my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves. And I said last time that that part, will humble themselves, also means when my people fast. Okay? And pray. So that means you cannot just have fasting without prayer. Fasting without prayer is hunger strike. So when you fast, you must pray. And when you fast, you must also read the word. How do you read the word? You seek God's face through reading the word. So he says, when my people who are called by name, if my people who are called by name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, four things, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayer made in this place. And last time I said, there are so many kinds of fasting that people practice. Other people talk about Daniel fast. Other people talk about Esther fast. And then I have told you that for a long time, the majority of us, when we came to Christ, what we have been practicing is partial fasting. The one you start at 6 o'clock in the morning and you break at 6 o'clock in the evening. That's partial fasting. That's not full fasting. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Say another amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because there is the Jesus kind of fasting, which is now full fasting. You find it in Matthew chapter 4. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, how many days? And how many nights?
49.
Now, do you know what night is? The one you wake up from this morning.
Yes.
The one you slept last evening.
Yes, sir.
And woke up from this morning. So the Bible says, even in that night, he was fasting. That means he didn't chew bread. He was fasting in that night. He fasted during the day. He fasted during the night. And he did it for 40 days, which means your body can survive without food for 40 days.
Amen.
By the day 41, if you don't eat on that day, the body begins to eat on itself. But you can survive without food for 40 days and 40 nights. But there is a way you do it. Before you do it, you talk to me and I tell you how you do it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And some of us, even this partial fasting, oh, that starts at 6 o'clock and ends at 6 o'clock in the evening. Somewhere in here, we chew sweet. We chew cassava. We chew. We love chewing. Food is an addiction. You know that food, people are addicted to food. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
So as I promised last time, I'll not promise here. The only time I've done the Jesus kind of fasting is when I fasted with my wife for 8 days. No food during the day, no food at night. 8 days. And I'm standing in front of you. We didn't die. Hallelujah. Amen. And my wife said, I'm looking forward to another one. I said, the next one will be 21 days.
Amen.
And she said, I'm ready. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But before you do it, you talk to me. You don't do it until you talk to who? To me. And I tell you how you do it. Amen.
Amen.
But you will not die.
Yes.
But today, I'm not dwelling on that. I'll dwell on it next time. Amen?
Amen.
The second thing, on the same thing that what scriptures are saying, it says in Matthew 5, 23, 24, therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, which is like an offering, you bring a gift to the altar. And when you are bringing the gift to the altar, you remember, I have an issue with Pastor Amos. What Jesus is saying, you leave your gift there before the altar. And you go and find Pastor Amos. And you say, hey, Pastor Amos, you and I have issues. Let's resolve these issues because I want to take my offering to the altar. And then when we reconcile, the Bible says, then you take the gift and you bring it to the altar and you offer it to God. And that one, God will answer. For some of us, we have been giving for a long time, but we have issues. Say, God, forgive us. We have issues. The Bible says, resolve those issues. Because those issues can stand in your way to answer prayer. This is the Bible. Today, I'm not preaching. Today, I'm reading scripture to you. Unless scripture speak for itself.
Amen.
I remember one day I was telling a brother, I said, the Bible says in the book of 1 Peter, husbands, dwell with your wives with understanding, that your prayers may not be hindered.
Amen.
And he says, Pastor, this prayer has put a lot of men in trouble. I said, because the men don't want to listen to what the scripture says. Because the scripture says, dwell with her with understanding. So already, the Bible is saying, between you and your wife, there should be understanding.
Amen.
If there is no understanding, prayer, hindered. Yes. Hindered, no results. Yes. And you come and you shout, and God says, just go and do what I told you. So between you and your wife, no issues.
Amen.
You take all the woman of us, it's no issues. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen,
amen church.
Amen.
But also the same apply to the sisters. So that you help us, that our prayer is not
hindered.
Amen, Pastor. Amen. So between you and us, we should be resolving the issues quickly. Don't say, I'm not ready to talk now. I have come, I am humble. I want my prayer answered. And when the prayer is answered, you too will benefit. So please forgive. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Number three. When you pray, do you confess your sins? Because asking God to move on your behalf, when you knowingly continue in sin, it leads to prayer to go unanswered. Hallelujah.
Amen.
In Psalm 66, 18, the Bible says, this is David. If I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. So doing bad things never ends you good things.
Amen.
Whether we want it, brothers and sisters, sin is a barrier, is a barrier that always separates us from God. Romans 6:23. Sin separates us from who? God. And you don't want to be separated from God. Romans 6:23 tells us that. So sin hinders prayer. A person may pray, and pray, without receiving an answer. And then they conclude, the problem is God. In reality, the problem may be in the person's heart. That's where the problem may be. And David understood that. David understood that if he cherished sin in his heart, the Lord would not hear him. So one of the worst things about sin, even though we love it, is that sin obstructs prayer. Sin acts as a barrier, as a roadblock, as a hindrance to answered prayer. Sin shuts us out from God.
Amen.
When we cherish sin, it shuts us out from God. Why? Because God is holy. And one thing you should know about God is that God cannot, will not, will never ever tolerate sin in his presence.
Amen.
Sin separates us from God. It hinders answers to prayer. So when sin blocks prayer, the real problem is not that we have sinned. That's not the problem. The problem is that having sinned, we have not repented. Because if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But, so it is the unconfessed sin. The unconfessed sin. When you cherish it in your heart, it inhibits answers to prayer. I remember one day, a brother comes to me and he says, Pastor, I was praying for you. And the Lord told me, you have an issue with your brother. And you need to go and resolve the issue with your brother. And then he will answer you. And me, I said, I'm not ready for that. Because there was some pride. The brother was younger, far much younger than me. Me, second born. You, something born. And then you offend me. And me, I'm offended. And I carry the offense. And you who offended me, you are not even humble to come and say, I'm sorry, I offended you. And now somebody is praying. And God doesn't tell him to go and speak to the younger brother. He says, go and speak to him who was offended.
Yes.
That he should go and say, your offense, I have forgiven. I said, me, that one, I'm not doing. And God says, then he said, but God has said, if you don't do that, he will not answer. So I had to go and meet the younger brother. And said, I'm not coming about the offense. I'm coming here to say, I forgive. And it took a lot of humility. Because sometimes when you do that, even where you are going to say, I forgive, they look at you. Forgive yourself then. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
So unconfessed sin, when you cherish it in your hand, it inhibits prayer. So some of you here, you know the reason I'm saying this is because I want God to answer you.
Amen.
I want you to walk in answered prayer. The teacher of these days, they say ngambi ngambi. I want you to walk in ngambi ngambi, answered prayer.
Yeah.
But one thing that can actually inhibit you is unresolved issues with people.
Mm.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Forgiven sin does not hinder prayer. Forgiven sinners are always welcome in God's presence.
Amen.
Forgiven sinners. So always be eager to come into the presence of God with forgiven sins. Because God has provided a way for that sin to be removed through the blood of Christ.
Amen.
So that we can come and not be hindered. He says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sin and purify us from all unrighteousness. So when it's forgiven, that sin is gone. It no longer impedes you. That's why Pastor Moffat preached here, and I've said it before, that God says he separates our sin as far as the east is from where? The west. And Pastor Moffat shared with us, he says, the east-west, it's a continuum. Whilst there is North Pole and South Pole, there is nothing like West Pole and East Pole. So when the Bible says, I've separated your sins as far as the east is from the west, it means you can be going round and round and round and round. You will never find that sin when you have repented and confessed it before God. So whenever you sin, I will say it in Tishewa first, Zisama kufute nikulapa. It shouldn't be a struggle for you to repent. Because when you repent, that forgiven sin is not going to hinder you and impede you and act as an obstruction to prayer. And that's the first requirement of prayer. That we should confess anything in our heart that is not of God. And when your sin is forgiven, you can be confident that God will hear and answer your prayers. I remember I shared in church, there's a brother who's gone to be with the Lord now. When we were together in secondary school, the brother was loose. If you want loose, the brother was loose. Very loose. When we got to college, he gave his life to Christ. Every Wednesday at a school meeting for more than 1 month, whenever there is an altar call, he would come to be born again. So one day we had to tell him, he says, brother, we only get born again once. We don't get born again. He says, no. Me, when I see the way I was lost, the sins I have been in, there is no way God can just forgive once. I need to come and tell him, I'm sorry again. Let me be born again today again. Let me be born again today again. So we had to begin to teach him and teach him and teach him. So I have got good news for you. If you confess a sin before God, you confess it, and you are not cherishing it, you confessed it, you repented, that sin, God has separated it away from you as far as the east is from the west. If he threw it in water, he has put a sign there, no fishing allowed.
Amen.
So they should never be in your life and confess the sin. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We can't have the privilege of prayer without purity of heart. So it's not just that sin hinders prayer, but also prayer hinders sin. The two are always opposed. The more careless you are about sin, the less you will pray. The more you pray, the less careless you will be about sin. You are actually going to fear sin. I have always said that the people who truly, truly understand grace, they avoid sin.
Amen.
Both sin and prayer are powerful forces. So never underrate sin. If sin was not powerful, then presidents will not be sinning. The guys who are in the army will not be sinning. Aminama Nyamula Zitsulo, my 50 kgs, my 100 kgs will not be sinning. But all those people sin. Because sin is powerful. It's really powerful. And the only way you can deal with it is you commit yourself to prayer. When you commit yourself to prayer, you are going to be less careless about sin. You'll be shocked what will happen. You will not just be all over the place. There will be some places where nobody will be forcing you to say, hey, don't go there. Because you know what? When we leave church today, do you know what's going to happen? Every one of us is going to go their way. And when we go our way, what you do with your life when you go your way, it's your issue. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The antidote to sin, I'll challenge you. Commit yourself to more prayer. You'll be surprised what God will do with your life. Because you know what the Bible says? draw near to me, and I will draw near to you. So as God begins to draw near and near and near to you, I want you to understand, it's going to be the presence of God. And sin cannot be found in the presence of God. So you're going to be very careful. Even the way you live your life, you're going to be very careful. Number four, when you come to God in prayer, are you double-minded? Because in James chapter 1, verse 1 to 7, James writes, James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. That means they are not in Jerusalem. They are not in Israel. Amen. They have been scattered. So as they were scattered, wherever they were scattered, we are found where they were scattered. So you can't say this scripture only applies to those who are in Israel. Because we are also found where they were scattered.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So after they were scattered abroad, he says greetings. So today I say greetings, brothers and sisters. My brethren.
Amen.
Count it all joy when you fall into various trials.
Amen.
Count it all joy.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So it means trials of what?
Will come.
Hey, they should come. Count, and when they come, you say, oh, hallelujah. How blessed I am, God. That trials can also find their way to my house and to my life. Count it all joy. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. That means you can live a life that lacks what?
Nothing.
If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. So it means when you come to God and say, Lord, I need wisdom. The Bible says, kupereka kwake Mulungu amango pereka kwanga mbingamwe. Sana umira ya. Amango pereka. Mana kuti mufuna zero. Zero is. But remember what the Bible says in Proverbs. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And he says, even when he's giving, he gives it without reproach. With no insult. If you come to me and say, Pastor Emas, you come to me and say, Pastor, I wanted to do this. And the thing to me is too obvious. You know what I'm going to say? I'll say, I am as. Zona, zintu zopeka kuyanga dizi. Mungwela chani kusani. Dimu da busani inu. I am as. Muna abila ni kuchango inu. Nilu da mambanga na anawi inu. The Bible says God doesn't do that. God doesn't do that.
Amen.
God doesn't come and say, remind you the school you went to, and the children, how many children you have, and how many qualifications you have. He says, and do you know where you get a lot of wisdom? From the Bible.
Amen.
If you really want to be wise, brothers and sisters, go to the book of Proverbs.
Yes, sir.
I don't do it every day. But one of the things I do is, as I teach myself more and more in prayer, I try to read 5 Psalms a day and 1 book of Proverbs, apart from any other scripture I can read. The reason is because I want every single month, I've gone through the book of Psalms, I've gone through the book of Proverbs. I've gone through the book of Psalms, I've gone through the book of Proverbs. I've gone through the book of Psalms, I've gone through the book of Proverbs. Whilst I'm also reading Timothy, whilst I'm also reading 1 Corinthians. Because I know prayer will help me.
Amen.
But Proverbs will give me wisdom.
Amen.
And one of the wisdom you find in Proverbs says, nobody plays with fire and doesn't get burnt.
Yes.
So anything that looks like fire, I say, hey, this one, Macduff Piri, avoid. And people say, according to the rules, this must be visible in the Bible.
Amen.
With no reproach. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
So he says, but let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For he who doubts, it's like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For not, let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So when you pray, you don't come before God double-minded. And I will attach, I will speak on this shortly. Let me go to number five. Let me go to number five. Number five is this one is nice. Very nice. But before I say it, I need to say something. I love it when I see people posting, whether it's on Facebook or on WhatsApp, Pastor McDuff declaring. So I produce a flyer. Maybe Pastor Murphy, you should start. We should be releasing declarations every day. I've said it, so I'm going to say it. So it says, I declare today your enemies will fall before you. And people say amen. People love those things, you know that? But if I am living in sin, it means nothing. You understand? It means what? Nothing. Those things apply to people who are striving before God to live right. But I know I'm cherishing sin in my life and confess the sin. I can say amen. It don't work. It don't happen.
Amen.
It don't happen.
Amen.
But the nice one that I want to bring up is sacrifices, whether it's tithe, whether it's giving to people, whether it's giving to church, whether it's blessing the church, whether it's anything that for you is a sacrifice, it does not replace living right before God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Proverbs 15:8, the wisdom I was talking to you about, says, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord. But the prayer of the upright is his delight. Another version says, the Lord detests the sacrifice of the wicked, but the prayer of the upright pleases him. Detesting, so if I am not living right and I bring a tithe before the Lord, do you know what God will do? The money will be received. The money will be used in church. But I want to tell you the truth. Rebuking the devourer will not happen. Windows of heaven open will not happen. And do you know what will be done? You'll be making a lot of noise on Facebook and say, this tithe is fake. It doesn't work. Hey, brother, just begin to live right before God.
Amen.
Sister, just begin to live right before God. I want you to know, giving works. Giving, paying of a tithe works.
Amen.
I am a testimony of that.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
When you trust God, when you trust God, it means you obey Him completely. Because partial obedience is disobedience. Partial obedience is still disobedience. You can't pick and choose which commands of God you will follow.
Amen.
There are two important truths, I shared them on Wednesday, that you need to understand about God's commands. Number one, God's standard of right and wrong, it never changes. It has always been the same. If something was wrong during the days of Abraham, it is wrong today.
Amen.
If it was wrong during the days of Noah, it is wrong today.
Amen.
If it was wrong on the day he created heavens and earth, it is wrong today.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
If it was wrong in 1980, it is wrong today.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Cultures change.
Yes.
Popular opinions change.
Yes.
But the truth never changes.
Yes.
And the truth is eternal. And the truth is the word of God.
Amen.
The God's standard of wrong and right, it will never change. No matter the opinion of Pastor McDuff. Wrong is wrong, right is right.
Yes.
Amen.
Hallelujah, church.
Amen.
So when he says, dwell with your wife with understanding, as it was during the time of Peter, it is so in the time of Pastor McDuff.
Amen.
And when Pastor McDuff has died, it will be so in the time of Zikom.
Amen.
It will not change.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Number two, God's perspective is bigger than your perspective.
Amen.
What I want you to know is this. God sees what you can see. It's humanly impossible for us to see back before time began. Or to go forward into eternity. Or to understand everything. You will not understand everything about your life. But there is a day in Proverbs, the Bible says, the mystery of God will be ended. You can't understand everything, seen or unseen. The things that are going around you. Those of us that are married, you can be married 25 years, 40 years, 50 years. There is still always something new that is released that you never saw it before.
Amen. Amen. Yes, sir.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I remember one day I just told myself, anything my wife says, I'll just be saying, yes, honey. I agree. And she came around, she was like, it just looks like I'm leaving you with a wrong man in the house. Says I should draw with you with understanding.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So there was a time when we were trying to buy a new car. Me, I wanted a certain type of car.
Yes.
And she says, no, you're not buying that one. You're buying this one. I'm like, but the one to be driving is me. But you're the one choosing which one to buy. And do you know what I said? I agree, honey. I agree, honey. So we bought the one she wanted. And since we bought it, I've tried, here are the keys, drive. He says, no, 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 it's your car.
Understanding.
I said, I'm dwelling with you with understanding.
Amen.
Hallelujah. She's doing it only once. She's doing it only once. Only once.
Amen.
But this is not the car I wanted. So that is yours. I'm like, yes, it's nice to be married.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. So, men, I want to tell you something today. Today I'm talking over.
Yes.
You need to give up your right to be right. You cannot be right all the time. All you have to say is, yes, honey, I agree, honey. I love you, honey. It will work, honey. All right? And then doors will begin opening. Because that is part and parcel of dwelling with understanding. You are understanding. If you own the meaning of understanding. You are what?
Understanding.
Simple. If you cannot understand that, you will never understand. Amen. Hallelujah. You enjoying church today? Amen. Church should be like this. You need to trust God, church. Amen. Listen to what James chapter 4, verse 11 says. The Living Bible. It says, your job, this is the Bible. Your job is not to decide whether this law is right or wrong, but to obey it.
Amen.
The Living Bible says it's not up to you to decide whether it's right or wrong. Your job is obey it. So the oddest temptation in life is not to murder. It's not even lust. It's the temptation to doubt God's word. God's word is true. God's word is real. God's word works. And in Ecclesiastes 3:11, he says, God makes everything happen at the right time. Yet none of us can ever fully understand all he has done. Some of the things God is doing in your life right now, you are not understanding.
Amen.
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 Sometimes we are in a hurry, and God is not in a hurry.
Yes.
It's as if he's taking all his time.
Yes, sir.
I want to tell you the truth. It's never easy to sit in God's waiting room. When you are waiting for something from God, and he says, Digangai waiting room. And patient, I mean, have you ever gone to the doctor and you really want the doctor to attend to you, but the patient inside? Eish. What, being in God's waiting room is not easy. Nothing we do will help the answer to our prayer come 1 second before God chooses to deliver it. The time God decides, I will deliver it on this day, that's the day he will deliver it. Abraham understood it. God gave him a very impossible dream. Do you know what was the dream was? You are going to be a father of a nation. And you're going to be a father of many nations. Do you know when he said it? 75 years old. No child. And it seemed very crazy. But you know what? The timing of God proved perfect. If you want Umboni, there's a nation of Israel today. We can't understand everything God is doing. But one thing you can be very confident about is that his timing is perfect.
Yes. Amen.
He answers sometimes yes. Sometimes he says no. Sometimes he says what? Wait.
Wait. Amen.
Shama comes to Pastor Bodolan. Says, Daddy, I love you, Daddy. You know the way girls do it. I love you, Daddy. Daddy, you're the best. Oh, you're sweet, Daddy. I mean, you're amazing, Daddy. Daddy, can I have car keys? I want to go and visit Dr. Nelda. So some of the things you want, it's not yet time.
Amen.
Some of you, even 1 million kwacha, you stop church. I'm telling you, 100,000, you stop church. You go crazy. They literally say, Pastor McDuff, Munduan, Ali Kut, Ali KFC. Why you Zandrama say, Jawa, what a Jabuja, Wajika, Patebu? I would add Zabuka, KFC, Tiku Menazama is a Buddha. Some of you can go crazy with 1 million. Do you know why I know you go crazy with 1 million? You struggle to pay a tithe on 10,000 kwacha.
Amen.
You struggle. God takes you through 6 predictable stages of faith. 6. If you understand these 6, your life is going to be amazing. And even if I don't cover the last one, it is well. Stage number 1. He is going to give you a dream. And a lot of us in here have got dreams.
Amen.
In Genesis 12, 2-3, God gave Abraham a dream to be a great nation. But I want to tell you this. A dream is just the starting point. It's not the end.
Yes. Amen.
You can see it very clearly in your head. You have told us a lot of big things. In this account, this is my shop. We don't doubt that. It's true. But step number 2, you have to decide. You have to decide to step out in faith and make a decision to act on the dream God has given you. You need to act on that. How did Abraham do it? He risked everything to leave his homeland and go to a place he had never seen or heard before. I've met some Malawians. I tell them, apply for this international job. And the person, and the first question the person asks it, Kumile Gogo, I'm a Gen Z man. I'm telling you. Hey, because me, I can't live without Sima for a day. Bro. I can't live. Really? You want to give up on God's dream because of Sima? Sima. N-S-I-M-A. People have given up on dreams for international jobs for Sima. I'm telling you. You can't believe it. Go to Abraham. You leave your land. When God gives you a dream, He doesn't make everything clear at a go. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It will never be clear at a go. Because you know what? If God shows you the things you're going to go through, some of the things He can show you, they're going to scare you. You only discover when you're already there, and you know, in this case, there's no way out. There's no going back. There's no going right. There's no going left. The only way to go is forward. Forward ever, backward never.
Amen.
And sometimes when He gives you a dream, you take one step forward and you go 15 steps backwards as if you're not going anywhere. Number three, if the dream truly came from God, even after you have acted, you're going to face delay. You're going to face delay. God never fulfills a dream instantly. During the delay period, it feels like nothing is happening.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
It feels like nothing. Nothing. Absolutely. Ngatikuti palibe zinthu zangokhala nje ngwe zauma. Palibe apo chimene chikusuntha.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
11 years after God gave Abraham the dream, the Bible says, God still hadn't given Abraham and his wife, Sarah, a child. Genesis 16, verse 1. What happened in those 11 years? Nothing. Nothing. Abraham simply waited, and Abraham and Sarah, what they had to do was to continue waiting. Amen.
Amen.
You have to wait.
Yes.
And you know what? I'll tell you the truth. If you do not learn the lesson of waiting, you know what God is going to do? He's going to make you repeat the class of waiting.
Amen.
You repeat the class of waiting. With God, there's nothing may try. Samabanga may try. You wait until you learn the lesson of what? Waiting. You learn the lesson of patience. There is nothing like may try.
Amen.
So once there is a delay, there will come stage number four. Difficulty. You are going to face problems as you pursue God's dream. And the prospects, they appear as if they are going from bad to worse to impossible.
Yes. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
The guy is now 99 years old. He is now beyond the age, humanly speaking, beyond the age of fathering a child. But even when the dream seemed impossible, God finally gave Abraham and Sarah a child after 25 years
Amen.
Of waiting.
Amen.
Somewhere along the line, they made a mistake. Amen. That's why you need to come back to God and say, Lord, I'm sorry. Naiwa, I forgot that I'm a child. I've messed up. God, please forgive, forgive, forgive. And He says, He will what? Forgive. After He has forgiven, make sure you live right.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So now, mana wa baba, the child is born. There will be now number five. Number five is what I call the dead end. Because God allows your dream to seemingly die. Zilipo sina zake ni yo mwala wako. Mtala alikia tiku nage bino bino tengo huu. Mwala wako ino mkono kulipa nama zimu zamba kutani. So bano, zamba kuenda. Zuhone longa now the dream is becoming real. Then all of a sudden, the dream seems like, Igutima, Igutima, ikutima, ikutima, yatima.
It will seemingly die. Do you know what God did? God tells Abraham, take your son, your only son, and sacrifice him on the mountain. But I'll show you. Do you know what Abraham did? He just obeyed. He didn't say, but you say, I'll be a father of many nations. No. God asks him, give up your miracle child. Sacrifice your dream. Sacrifice it. Let's see what it will do. You wanted to do something else, and then all of a sudden, God says, sacrifice it. I want to tell you the truth. Anything you hold on to, God will not give you the next level.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Some things I'll tell you when the day is right. Today I'm not telling you any stories. Today my mouth is zipped, shut. The only thing I can tell you is that whenever I was trying to try my consultancy for the first time, filling station off, the farm off. We just started now. Restarting. Phase two of farming. Of mbuzi. Now, just one more for now. Mbuzi kuli baby. Okay? Ijamuna aje jana jiro gula. You understand? Your dream will die. It will die. I had to sell chicken claws. Zibaba sino. Maka oda would do the state.
Amen.
Maka nyumba ya rent 47. Later the landlord says nyumba wifuna. Sina memu na chanzo sangu hakole. Mwewa. No cement, no ceiling, no water, no electricity. Killing snakes twice in the house. And Lolo had to run in the house the way Lolo wanted to run. And some of you, you still haven't experienced that. And then God started opening doors.
Amen.
Small, small.
Amen.
Small, small.
Amen.
And then even the consultancy itself had to die. It only resurrected this year.
Amen.
Started in 2016. Died. Chichewa English. Resurrected in 2023. Now resurrected.
Yes.
May die again. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
If your dream doesn't die, then how are you going to learn?
Yeah.
How are you going to learn now? God asks you that sacrifice. Sometimes you sacrifice.
Yes.
You sacrifice the dream. You went so hard for it. One of the things I don't do in my life is I don't fight for things. I don't fight for things. I don't know how many plots of land we have lost in our life. The ones I know, six. We paid for them. They were out in our name, ready to build. Land is sold to someone else. And people say, go to court, fight. I say, fight for what? Me, I will not. Six plots of land we have lost. Hallelujah. So the people, when you, those of you who came for the last night of prayer, our brother was sharing, how long was he unemployed? 4 solid years. He had to stay in Kisapo. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
He had to go and stay in Kisapo, in Lodiba. You need Lodiba in your life.
Yeah.
You just want for the three. You go start somewhere.
Amen.
Some of us, when we first started, when I first got married to Dr. Lord, do you know our first house where it was?
It was in Area 22. Somewhere. somewhere.
The house we could afford had potholes. That was our first house. He said, potholes, number one. No selling. The denga in our rapture. Day the Munyumba Mukamba Pools. Also, Duncan. With my wife, we had to say, honey, potholes in Yapo. In a Yapo. Uganzuka, we had to see, Ufuna, we had to see, we had to see, we had to see, we. I want to tell you the truth. Because when you have gone through that, that's how God begins to mold you, mold you, mold you, mold you, prepare 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 you, mold you, mold you, mold you, mold you. Then he says, aha, Sopan, must I be calling me? Some of you at this point in time, you are bronze. Some of you, you are silver. Some of you, you are wood. Wood. Some of you are grass. And God is going to take you through that. You're going to go through that. You're going to go through that. Hallelujah.
Amen. Yes.
So finally, there's going to be deliverance.
Yes.
The more hopeless the dead end is, the greater deliverance will be. And I want you to know, God will deliver you.
Yes.
He will deliver you. I serve the living God.
Yes.
He will deliver you.
Yes.
There will be deliverance.
Yes.
You'll be left with the realization that only God could have done what he has done.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
I said, did you say school or college?
Hallelujah!
I went to Bishop McKenzie. And therefore, I went to Bishop McKenzie, and that's how God has come through for me.
Amen.
Where did you go to school?
Did you talk to me?
Yeah, I educated you at Kabutu. After Kabutu, I went to Nzumazi. So after Nzumazi, I repeated it again. Then I went. Did you say school? I went to box two. Then I'm here. I want a job. And somehow God gives you favor.
Yes.
And they give it to you.
Yes. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
That's how Pastor Moffat got his job. Pastor Moffat, he moved by faith to Blantyre. By faith. Some of you, if I just tell Emma and say, Emma, go and plant a church in Area 25. You say, hey, Pastor, no. Me, I love the way we say, holy. Because you can't start with Azida. Do you want more stories today? We need to finish church. You have to go home.
Woo!
What you see today, this is God's work at hand.
Amen.
We were never here.
Amen.
Today I'm not preaching. I'm just telling you stories. So where are you on these six stages? Where are you? Are you on dream? If you're on dream, there is decide, delay, difficulty, dead end, deliverance. If you are on delay, if you're on delay, good news, there's difficulty coming.
Amen.
Difficulty is coming.
Amen.
And then after difficulty has come, there will be a death of the mirror. And then God will deliver you.
Amen.
Pastor Patrick, after he gets a job, do you know what he had to go through? He had to almost die now.
Yes.
He had to almost die. We had to pray.
Yes.
That, hey, not now, Lord. I remember going to his house. Sorry, Pastor. Sorry. In the name of Jesus, forgive me.
Okay,
sister, it was Sister Linda, not Pastor Patrick. Sister Linda says,
Maybe it's a house we have moved in. We should just move and go back to where we were when we thought God has visited us. And now look at what has happened. We, my husband is about to die. Hey, hey, hey. I said, Sister Linda, this house belongs to a pastor. There are no demons in this house. Oh, now that you have said that, oh, stay.
I'm like, God's people. God's people. God's people. You need to go through that, church.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let me stop there. I'll finish next time.
May the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.